When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Ford's F-150 Lightning incentives. The Cybertruck really does seem to have cleared its reservation list, and Japan's EV roadblock. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you why Cupra say it's okay to hand back their EVs if you just don't like them. Hey, you want to split £100? If you're in the UK and you move to Octopus Energy, you can use my referral code. It's for friends and family. It helps keep the lights on for me, and you get a great welcome bonus. Let's split £100 between us. Click on the link in the show notes. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. For the first working day of the week, Monday, 21st of October, I'm Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story that I can find today, so you don't have to. I'm here to save you time, because your time is precious, and this is what I do for a living, like the TLDR of the electric world. Welcome to a new podcast, executive producer David Moore. David, my friend, you get your name in the list of legends. Get your name in the Hall of Fame like David Moore, become an executive producer or above. It's $10 or more, maybe it's a posh coffee or two in your head, however you justify it. The free version will always be free, but if you find the kindness in your heart, if you want to support what the work that I do here, spread the word about clean, green, electric mobility, you're welcome to have a look at the page, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. I'm about to rework all the tiers, all the levels, if you like, maybe in time for 1st of November. Maybe we should tie it into the start of a new year. I haven't decided yet. I need to rewrite them all, new benefits. But if you are locked in, like I can grandfather you in on the Patreon platform, you will absolutely, for as long as you're a member, pay your original price. You can click on a link in the show notes as well. So let's kick off with this really interesting cultural difference in EVs. Over the last little while or so, we've had two motor shows going on, Tokyo and Paris, highlighting entirely different strategies for the future of vehicles. And you might not have read about this, and it might not have been drawn to your attention. The Paris Motor Show, I've talked about a lot. You'll know that because in your podcast feed, you'll see a ton of bonus shows, industry insight, into what happened at the Paris Motor Show. We got some great car reveals, and the Chinese EVs were there, the French EVs were there, a bit of German Tesla were there. It was great. Tesla were in front of the takeaway food joint, just with their cars parked on the carpet. It's the Tesla were next to the. I saw them next to the Chevrolet stand. And of course, you know, GM had spent some money. So there was the big glossy Chevrolet stand with the lights and the noise. And then next to it, you got the burger bar. And then next to it, Tesla just parked their cars on the carpet, which I thought was wonderful. And they had the Cybertruck frunk going up and down and stuff. It was very cool to see. But in Japan, the Tokyo Motor Show was devoid of EVs. So isn't that interesting? In contrast, the Japan Mobility Show, as it was called, was entirely disconnected from what's happening in the world. Now, at the Paris event, major brands like Renault, Stellantis, Volkswagen introduced new EVs. There was many new EVs at about 25,000 euros or even less, about 26,000 US dollars for European buyers, many of whom might be moving away from traditional car ownership. Maybe they want a car with just enough range to get around the city, occasional long journeys, but at the right price. Conversely, the Japan Mobility Show did have an EV because they did take a Nissan Ariya along to it. But that's been out over 2 years now. Japanese automakers highlighted, you won't be surprised to hear, the future. If you went along to the Japan Mobility Show, you were told the future is hydrogen. They did not recognize EVs and also biofuels, by the way. That strategy is entirely misaligned with the global trends, with all of the data, with the cars that you and I want to buy. And it's really worrying for the Japanese auto industry. Now, there's another opinion to take here, and that would be, who's the world's biggest car maker? That would be Toyota. They're doing just fine. What do you know, podcast boy? And that's a good argument, by the way. I can fight you on it, but I'd also recognize that your argument would be very valid because, hey, the Japanese car makers are doing absolutely fine. They're making money. What's the problem? Well, look, even in 2022, battery EVs made 13% of global sales. It's gone up since then. But the last data point I can find for Japan, it was 2%. So, of course, if you live and work in Japan and you look around, you can't see EVs driving around and you're not looking at the wider picture and you are looking from a cultural perspective, and that's very understandable. We all work within our culture, right? Then you'd think, well, EVs aren't a thing. So maybe hydrogen is going to be the thing. Japanese manufacturers continue at the show to talk EVs down, to throw doubts on the EV transition. Toyota's chairman Akio Toyoda used the opportunity to say that, you know, battery EVs might never even be more than 30% of the market. Well, you know, in Norway, it's 96%. You know, in China, it's more. In Europe, it's about to be more. The UK was 20% pure BEV in September. Japan was once the leader in electrification. My gosh, wow, the Nissan Leaf was incredible, having pioneered lithium-ion batteries themselves in Japan, early electric vehicles as well. But the current auto shows indicate that EVs are simply not part of the Japanese auto industry. And it's fascinating to see. Like I say, they're doing just fine. What do I know? Probably nothing. As the headline of the Bloomberg article that I saw over the weekend said, Japan is hoping it wakes up and that EVs were just a dream. Because when reality kicks in, it's going to be an awful surprise if they don't have products to come with. Now, again, in Japan, not a huge amount of charging, not a huge amount of EVs. Why would you go out of your way to take a bunch of future EV products to a show that they don't care about? And that's also, yeah, a good point. But wow, I thought I'd better tell you about that as the first thing I say on a Monday morning. Now, let's talk about this. I saw it crop up in my feed a couple of times and some people passed this news on to me because it really stands out. Cupra, which is the sporty bit of Seat, which is the Spanish bit of Volkswagen Group, has launched a novel return policy for their Born. Now, the Born, which was going to be called Elborn originally, which is a very cool name, but just simply the Born now. My personal favourite, I like it more than an ID3, but that's the point of having multiple models, right? You might like the friendly, softer look of the ID3. I really love the styling of the Cupra Born. And that's been out, again, a couple of years now. And so to reinvigorate life into that, they've launched a new scheme where buyers can return the car within 3 months. It's called the Love Me or Leave Me scheme. And it's the first, I think, in the EV sector since Tesla used to go really big on their returns policy. Then it went down to just a 7-day return policy, which I always thought was interesting because Musk really lent heavily into that, which was, hey, don't like a Tesla, just bring it back. And people were, it certainly gave them confidence. And once they drove them, they never gave them back, of course. But you know, and also organising your financing and insurance and all of that only to give the car back. I mean, you've really got to hate EVs, and that's a big faff. But the policy, and then the policy was dropped, of course. And so it allows customers to hand back their Born within, if they find within 80 days that the electric vehicle is not suitable for them. It starts at £35,000 here in the UK, and you can get a driving range up to 373 miles, depending on the variant that you spec. You must tell Cupra via email within a designated 20-day period between 80 and 100 days post-delivery. You've got to have bought the vehicle from current Cupra inventory to qualify for the return. But as long as the vehicle isn't damaged, and you must pay for any damages, the full amount is going to be repaid. That's a really, really lovely thing to do. I'm sure people won't even take them up on it, but it just gives you peace of mind, doesn't it? It's like a 30-day, no quibble money back. It's like the whole Amazon Prime thing. You know, it's just nice. We've returned a bunch of stuff from Amazon Prime that we bought, maybe wasn't quite right. They never, ever quibble it. You just go, oh, hey, I mean, I haven't unwrapped it, or I haven't, you know, it wasn't the right thing, or it didn't look like I thought it was going to be. And that kind of thing goes a long way when you're buying something, well, not only a distance, but untried. And even a test drive might not be enough. Electric might not be for you. And Cupra are saying that it's a very innovative policy that they hope that will encourage more people to buy one of their Borns. Now, recent findings from Auto Trader over the weekend reveal a notable decline in brand loyalty among car buyers, especially in the EV market. This is really interesting. I've been talking about this a lot on my podcast over the years. 36% of traditional car buyers would typically stick with the brand for future purchases. But this loyalty plummets when you buy an EV. Just 19% of car buyers would normally stick with their current brand when they come to make another car purchase. Many consumers express certainty that they will not return to their current brand, partly because they just want to try something new. They just want to try the latest toys, gadgets, just something else. The move to EV is the opportunity to not just move car brand, but maybe try a whole different technology. The rise of new brands as well, like BYD, Great Wall, Omoda, there's a couple of Omodas for sale here in the UK now, has significantly increased the visibility of those on the road. And although the inventory for these brands has increased, the engagement in terms of ad views and things on Auto Trader and leads hasn't really followed suit yet. Interest in these new entrants often surges following notable events, like when BYD will either have like a big lease offer, or when there'll be lots of, you know, publicity around BYD selling more than Tesla in a quarter. Tesla's back ahead at the minute in terms of pure EVs on a global scale. But the big car makers appear to be, you know, diminishing the recognition of their well-known brands as well, says Auto Trader, as they rush to EVs, which hinders brand identity. For instance, says Auto Trader, 84% of those surveyed could connect the word Focus to the Ford brand, the Ford Focus. That's 84%, which I still think is incredible. You know, 16 people, and this is Auto Trader, who are into cars, don't know that the Ford Focus is a Ford thing. But anyway, with Audi coming along with a new brand like e-tron, only 13% of people, again, this is Auto Trader, so you're in the car market world already, you're not going to the general public who aren't interested in cars, only 13% of people attach the word e-tron to Audi. And that's incredible. And it underscores the challenges faced by traditional automakers. And I mentioned this last week on the podcast, I think twice on two separate days, because we were talking about the Paris Motor Show and brand names and stuff like that. Renault 4 coming back, Renault 5 coming back. I saw some pushback from people saying, well, you know, leaning into retro stuff is the current lazy thing that car makers are doing. I totally disagree. Totally disagree. You, whether it looks like a Capri or not, Ford using that name is an interesting thing. And I've said many times over the years, many times, I think that VW understandably went with the ID name. Mercedes-Benz understandably went with the EQ branding. For the Chinese makers, it was an absolute gift, because everyone was then starting from scratch. And so you think, well, maybe I will try a Chinese one, because there's no e-Golf. That's a bad example, because there was an e-Golf. But, you know, the ID3 wasn't the new Golf. And so there wasn't the new electric Passat. And so, oh, it was the ID7. Okay. Or I'll try the Chinese thing. So those amazing brand names that were built up. And I know why they didn't use them, for many reasons, to show innovation, to show a different, you know, not eat into their combustion sales, get away from Dieselgate, all of that. It was all multiple reasons. But now it's, you know, the data points are coming through that people are saying, well, maybe I won't stick. I've had the last three cars I've had have been a so-and-so. The next one might be different. And that's because of electric vehicles. Fascinating. Right. Coming up on the podcast soon, we'll talk about incentives to buy an F-150 Lightning from Ford and why one Tesla executive just resigned from the business and mentioned the delays in self-driving approval as something he was very unhappy about. I'll tell you all the details. Stick around.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to the podcast. If you're listening to the free version, you may have had an ad or two, depending on where you live around the world. I don't know what you hear in terms of the ads, but this show will always be free forever, I promise. And if you want to support the show, save even more time because you skip the ads, sign up on Patreon, because the Patreon levels, all of the levels are ad-free. But if you go executive producer, you get your name in the Hall of Fame. Join the list of legends, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Now, the Chinese company Chery revealed on Friday that they will fill us in on the state of their all-solid-state battery, the Chery Global Innovation Conference, that they will introduce it to the market in 2026. The new battery line will include three series, and they will all be 6C charging rate, which allows for an increase of about 400 kilometers at typical efficiency over 5 minutes. The company wants energy densities to reach 400 watt-hours per kilogram by the end of this year, with an eventual 600 watt-hours per kilogram. And the first vehicle applications, like I say, 2026 on a 2027 model year. These developments will enable EVs to achieve much longer distances if you want to make the batteries bigger. And they're working on three battery types, a square lithium iron phosphate, a square ternary, and a large cylindrical cell as well. But the big thing for them is that they want to target a 6C rate, a charging rate, which, okay, if you're new to the podcast, C rate indicates the charging rate calculated by dividing the current, which is amps, by the battery's rated capacity, amp hour. So if you had a 60 kilowatt hour battery and it charged in 60 minutes, then, you know, briefly, I don't want to get into this too much, it would be a 1C rate. And so the 6C rate is an indication that this would be absolutely best in class, market leading. There is some stuff out there like the Li Auto Mega. That's a big MPV that charges ridiculously. It's like 5 or 5.5C rate. And so, but this is, they say, not semi-solid, all solid state batteries destined for their EVs at Chery. Amazing thing to think that no one ever talks about that because it's a Chinese name. And I'm so wary about how much Chinese news I put on this podcast because there's some interesting things, but ultimately we can't buy them. And certainly not yet anyway, it's 2 years away. I think I don't want to waste your time, but also we should know this is coming. Right, incentives to dealers to order the F-150 Lightnings are coming. Ford's encouraging their dealers to order the F-150 Lightning in the current stock, the 2024 model year, from a newly established regional electric vehicle distribution centre. From now until November 15th, Ford dealers can earn up to $1,500 for each truck they order. According to a memo seen by Automotive News, the incentive initiative is designed to assess the logistics and efficiency of the Rapid Replenishment Centres, the RRCs, while fostering better dealer engagement. These centres, located through the US, allow dealers to maintain lower stock levels of EVs at the dealership while enabling customers to access a very big inventory much more quickly. The programme is like GM's EV fulfillment centres and builds on Ford's earlier EV efforts to for certification and stuff like that. Now, dealers will receive $1,000 for each of the first 9 Lightnings ordered from their local RRC, their Rapid Replenishment Centre. The incentive increases to $1,500 for orders of 10 to 15 trucks, which includes an additional $500 for each of the first 9 vehicles. A dealer can earn a maximum bonus of $22,500 by ordering 15 trucks, and I hope that that works its way through to the vehicles and the prices that you might pay. We can't buy the F-150 Lightning here, we'd love to, but the prices that you might see in the stock that you might see or at least have access to for my US listeners. Okay, moving on, and some details coming in from S&P Global Mobility on the August numbers for the United States. Some of these I've had already, some of them I haven't mentioned, so I'll quickly go over this. S&P indicated an 18% rise in EV registrations for the month of August based on the same month last year, so year on year, always a comparison we like to look at. 18% up doesn't sound like an industry in distress, in chaos, in crisis right now, and working in any industry that's on 18% rise year over year, I'd be pretty happy with that. But if you read the headlines, apparently no one's buying EVs anymore, not the case. If you look at the numbers, look at the data, what is happening is the car makers are having to put out negative headlines because they're not achieving the targets of which they themselves published maybe 2 years ago or post-pandemic when waiting lists were 18 months for EVs. And, well, I understand why they made those projections, and because they haven't hit them, of course, they have to put out guidance sometimes if they're publicly listed companies to say, well, we're going to miss our guidance. And that leads to, I think, a bunch of stories. But looking at the numbers, looking at August, looking really good. I've always told you about the quarterly numbers as well and big success for the likes of General Motors going into second place in the US market. But S&P Global Mobility talking here about the August numbers, which is a little while ago, but they put a number on it, which is 111,952 EVs. That's an 8.6 share. That's up from a 7.5 share same month last year. Tesla on a 46 share of the market. Now, long-time listeners will remember me talking about 60, 70, 80% Tesla market share in the US. Very different over here in Europe. We have many more cars to pick from, and Tesla don't have it all their own way. In the US, for a long time, the EV market was Tesla, but now that's below 50%. 51% was August last year. Now it's 46%. Still very, very good, especially when you consider the top three cars in the US is still Model Y, Model 3, Cybertruck, and Cybertruck selling more than the Ford F-150 Lightning, Rivian R1T, and there's a Silverado. If you combine all those figures, Cybertruck still sold more. We'll get onto Cybertruck in a minute. Tesla, obviously the top manufacturer, and the company's registrations were up 5.3% August year on year. Equinox and Blazer for GM did pretty well. But also, here's what I hadn't told you yet. Honda Prologue entered the top 10 of the US EV sales. Now, I guess quite impressive. Well done to the team working on the Honda Prologue, because I kind of missed that one, actually. I didn't see it coming, rather. It just kind of came from nowhere. Now, I think that's down to some heavy marketing push, some subsidies, some incentives, making it a really killer deal, and also a focus on getting the Prologue sold. But still, look, either way, those are the numbers, and into the top 10, very, very good. Prologue's a very nice car, actually. Yeah, I mentioned Cybertruck. Let's move on to this next story. Now, I told you last week, three different forum posts that I saw saying, you know, the reservation list is done and dusted for the Cybertruck. And I know what they were meaning, which is they had a reservation, they reserved some of them on day one and some of them, you know, last year, and people who had reservations because they either wanted to secure, you know, a discount or the price of FSD at the time, or for whatever reason, people put their $100 down, and depending on which source you looked at. I saw many different sources claiming between 1 million and 2 million people on the Cybertruck reservation list. That's definitely over now. So at the time last week, I hadn't quite fully formed my thoughts on it until I went through the design studio in the US. I didn't look at, you know, Canada or Mexico, but certainly I gather that if you are in North America, at least where the vehicle is sold, you can go onto your locally, you know, geographically local, currency-wise, Tesla design studio and spec up the Cybertruck. Now, that is an $80,000 vehicle, $79,990 if I'm being precise, and that is for the version that's 325 miles on the all-season tires. It does a little bit less on the all-terrain tires, but with the all-season core wheels and covers, 325 miles of range, 4.1 seconds 0 to 60. It's called the all-wheel drive Cybertruck, and it's $80,000. Or you can spec the Cyber Beast for $20,000, not more, and you can get the tri-motor, performance launch mode, you get a different interior, and rear torque vectoring, I think. I'm not seeing many people talking about that, but certainly from $80,000, you can just go online and buy the Cybertruck right now. Anyone in North America can do that. You can add full self-driving for $8,000 if you want to, and there's no waiting. You can get it between 4 and 8 weeks, depending on where you live. You pop your zip code in, and then there's a $2,000 destination fee, I think, with Tesla. But apart from that, you're all in, and you get your vehicle very, very quickly. So I think we can now say, with another sort of 7 days under my belt of having a look around at this story, that Tesla has ended its Cybertruck reservation program. Now, they haven't put out a press release to say it's officially over, but given that you can't get a Foundation Series 1 anymore and that anyone can go buy one, I think it's fair to say that 2 million people on the reservation list have all been invited to configure and chosen not to. And now there we are. So 25,000 vehicles on the road. And so that has been a good first year, but it's nowhere near what the capacity built in Austin is designed for. A few reasons for this. I'll get onto my thoughts, my editorial comment in a moment, but I'll just give you the news first of all. Until now, Tesla customers have been able to make an order on the website, directly from Tesla's website until now. Individuals who reserved the Cybertruck on its launch day back in November 2019, wow, it was a long time ago, received priority for delivery. And it was, what, November 30th, November 31st last year? We're approaching 12 months, aren't we, for the Cybertruck. With invitations sent out by mid-October, it was evident that even those who reserved as late as July were now getting their delivery invites. And so difficulties, by the look of it, converting reservations into sales. Despite skepticism from Tesla fans regarding all those sales reports, it did look like that 2 million people were on the list, and that people were quoting, you know, VIN numbers and stuff, or reservation numbers, and trying to put these trackers together. I was never fully sure about methodology and things like that, but that was the hardcore Tesla community were saying 2 million reservations, which, if they were saying that to make it seem very popular, you know, now we say, well, the reservation list is done. You've only sold 25,000 of them. Perhaps that's sort of backfiring a little bit. Maybe that shouldn't have been such a public number. Perhaps the community maybe shouldn't have gone so big on that. Well, now that the Foundation Series is all over and that you can just go get one, I wonder how that leaves Elon Musk's claims that the demand on Cybertruck is so robust that the Cybertruck was sold out until at least 2027. Well, we're, you know, over 2 years away from that, and the Cybertruck is now not sold out. You know, less than a year into delivery, and that's a significant moment. So let's have a look back and think why. Is this panic stations for Tesla? Probably not. Is this an ideal story for Tesla? Definitely not. But there is a way out of this, clearly, because when reservations began in 2019, it's because so many people were jumping on. Well, a couple of things. Firstly, I think you locked in the price of full self-driving. I think you also locked in discounts. I think it was like a $1,000 discount. And I think you locked in some other things as well. So, like, it was a $39,900, it's a $40,000 vehicle 5 years ago, had 500 miles of range, had an exoskeleton body, was going to be this amazing thing. But when the vehicle was finally released, the price was nowhere near promised, the range was nowhere near promised, the design had alterations. Many reservation holders would have chosen not to proceed based on multiple things. Some of them would have already had a different truck that they like and maybe they got a Rivian or a Ford or a Silverado or something. But that's not too, there aren't 2 million of those on the road. I think the main thing's the price. I think, well, and you know, actually, tell a lie, I think it's two things. It's price and deposit size. So to make a reservation was $100. And that's very different to what they've done in the past when it was $1,000, for instance. They had hundreds of thousands of Model 3 reservations. Can't really cast them a mind back now when there were queues outside of Tesla showrooms and there was so much excitement about the Model 3 when you could finally get on the reservation list for that. And I think it was $1,000 back in the day originally. And they had hundreds of thousands. Was it 400,000 odd? Plus or minus on that list. And so Cybertruck, very different, $100, which, you know, for some people is like, well, that might be the price of a nice meal out with my partner. And I'm happy to loan that to Tesla to get my place in the queue. Elon Musk talking about being sold out till 2027. And you think, all right, $100, I really want one, I'll put it in. But of course, the vehicle's 80 grand. So I think it's fair to say now that that is indeed the case. And where do we go from here? Well, the obvious thing is price cuts. The obvious thing is it's not going to be an 80 grand truck in 3 months' time. What do you think? 6 months' time? I'm tempted to think sooner rather than later, given that Tesla always save their best deals to the end of quarter. You know what I'm talking about, the 0% finance, the swapping of full self-driving from one vehicle to another. It's the very quietly, I mentioned this on a podcast 2 weeks ago, Tesla are becoming much more like a traditional car dealership in that they know the levers to pull quietly to make a sale. Tesla was always, hey, here's the price. We're non-negotiating. Well, actually, to get vehicles under the tax credit limits and stuff like that, to get the $7,500, they do all sorts of things. Like, well, you can have whatever color you want and we'll throw in this little incentive and the price will still be this. And so they're becoming much more sophisticated, nuanced, if you like, which car dealers have had 100 years to become more nuanced and sophisticated. They know how to sell vehicles. And so with the Cybertruck, clearly it's price, and clearly people are thinking it's not an 80 grand truck. It's still a very good truck, 300 miles plus, but not 70 grand, 80 grand. So the obvious thing is going to be pulling those levers. Now, we're only just into the quarter, and Tesla are already offering 0% financing in the US on some of their vehicles. That's, for me, unheard of until later in the quarter. So they're already, I think, showing signs of needing to juice the market with big deals, with special deals. They don't shout about them. Like I say, they're very clever at, I mean, they're not stealthy. They're just very clever that actually if someone's looking for this spec car, you know, this, oh, what's this? There's not 0% on Model X. I'm sure there's no 0% on Model X. I think it's Model Y. On some specs, 0% financing in the US, quietly adding that in, increasing demand where they need to. And so with Cybertruck, really obvious what they're going to do is reduce the price of that, not to $40,000. But I think the first obvious step is maybe $7,500, possibly. Maybe it's Tesla. I think it'll be more than $5,000. I'd be surprised if it's $10,000 off, because you start to upset the people that have just bought one then. And in the past, Tesla have done the honest thing and said, done the right thing. Let me correct myself and back up there. Reverse out of that cul-de-sac. And they've said to people who've just bought the car, hey, do you want to have some money off? Can we give you a rebate? And there's been conditions and caveats attached to that sometimes. But still, I think the obvious thing with Cybertruck is that because there's still no federal tax credit on it, something to do with the battery, obviously, and I don't know, but it's not getting it. And so it will be, I think, $7,500, they'll say we'll cover the tax credit while the government aren't doing that, and then it'll go down from there. And in a year's time, maybe it'll be a $50,000 Cybertruck. And I think lots of people know that and they're waiting for it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this fascinating story. Hard to find any good things for Tesla in this, but the good thing for the customer is I think the Cybertruck's about to get a lot cheaper. So if you're thinking of buying one, I'd hold on if I were you. You've waited this long, you've waited 5 years. Give it 3 more months, give it 6 more months, and you're going to get yourself a much better deal.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Right, let's move on. A Tesla executive resigned recently and talked about the frustrations he has and delays of self-driving over here. A senior executive stepped down and criticized Europe's regulatory landscape. Mark Van Imp, who oversaw global vehicle automation, indicated a key decision regarding the rules for Tesla's full self-driving in the UK and Europe has been pushed back, he feels, to 2028, and I think probably ran out of patience and has left Tesla. He's gone to SpaceX, though. He's in the family, do you know what I mean? The delay will result in FSD not being allowed on maybe British roads and maybe even European roads as well until well after 10 years when it first rolled out in the United States. We're looking at maybe 2028, maybe the end of the decade, when regulators will get rules in place, not just for Tesla, but for everybody, with these innovative technologies. As I've mentioned before, apologies to long-term listeners, our automotive industries in the US and over here in Europe are completely opposite. Our car industry is much more like your aviation industry. So if you want to, in the aviation industry in the United States, if you want to bring something to the industry, you have to prove to the FAA, hey, this is safe and here's all our data. The way that you do your road system in America is anybody can do anything, and then you'd shut the door after the horse has bolted, like, oh crap, this is unsafe, take it off your cars. Just different ways of doing it. Over here, it's very much like, if you can prove something safe, then we'll let you do it. But until then, you're banned from doing it. And I think that this executive finally had enough and has left the business. There's a limited set of rules focused on basic driving functions, automatic lane change, but anything more broader in terms of, you know, urban driving scenarios, that's the set of EU rules I think are being pushed off into the distance. So Tesla's previously led the discussions on these regulations, but they handed the leadership of that group over to BMW, I think. And Tesla may consider launching a really a bare bones version of FSD that would comply with the current regulations of things like lane change. Ford recently introduced their hands-free Blue Cruise system here in the UK. So it can be done. You can apply for exemptions and different countries do different things. So now BMW has started using two new fully electric trucks to move their battery cells and modules around Leipzig in Germany. They do an 8-kilometer round trip from a nearby warehouse, which is a great thing. I love these little stories. They you know, don't mean a lot in the grand scheme of things. But of course, they not only decrease carbon dioxide emissions, but it's actually, you know, they're walking the walk and not just talking the talk. They have 340 kilowatt hour batteries and they charge them up during the driver's brakes, four electric motors, 610 horsepower, and they say they're about three times more efficient than the diesel trucks that they operate. So it's great news BMW are using those to make EVs. Little offer coming out from Hyundai in the United States, a 13-month leasing program. That's very, very short, isn't it? So if you get a 2024 model year, Ioniq 5. So if you only want a car for just over a year, it's $399 a month, no initial payment, and that is the current model year. They call it an ultra-fast lease, almost a try before you buy. And normally you're leasing for 2-3 years, but this one's just over a year. You can get it to the end of this month, October 31st, and it is only the current model year, Ioniq 5 SE Long Range. Nothing down at signing. Very, very interesting. Of course, they're now making the 25 model year, Ioniq 5, coming out of Georgia, and so let's move that stock on with a great little deal. Love it. Good news coming out of Northvolt, and it looks like they're close to finalizing a rescue package of $300 million equivalent, both debt and equity. The Swedish battery manufacturer needs to stabilize their production, secure long-term financing, and get themselves back on an even footing. Hopefully they can do that with contributions from existing shareholders, lenders, and customers, maybe. Volterra is the US firm that specializes in charging networks for zero emission heavy duty vehicles. They've acquired two new development sites. They now bring their total to 22 across transit locations in California, Texas, Georgia, Arizona, and Florida. That's a great bit of news. Well done to that. business. And Cincinnati is adding 43 new electric vehicle charging stations thanks to the approval of $11.1 million in federal funding. The Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana Regional Council of Governments, OKI, shared this news just a couple of days ago, using resources from the program established by the Biden administration's infrastructure law. 16 local communities get access to the funding. Four of them will receive over $1 million for their project. Hamilton gets $1.6 million. Middleton gets $1.5 million, each planning to install at least four stations. And with the funding, total for EV charging stations has now reached $16.8 million. Currently, that region, which spans eight counties, has 160 level 2 charging stations that can fully charge a vehicle overnight, along with 14 DC fast charging stations. So always excellent news when you hear about more chargers popping up in areas that really need them. And that's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and thanks to our Patreon supporters. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from Nevo.ie, and the Nevo EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Octopus Electroverse. They do global public charging, and they make it so simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.